Good morning. Before I get started, I'd like to thank you, Ian, for changing the times of the services this morning, thereby sparing the rugby fans amongst us from the horrible dilemma that we were facing as where we were going to be this morning. I got to the point of remembering the story of the vicar who was upbraiding one of his a member of his parish for being in the pub on Sunday mornings and not in the church. And the parishioner replied, "Well, you see, vicar, it's better to be in the pub thinking about the church than in the church thinking about the pub." You can see where that might have gone. Today I'm talking about the most important commandment. In other words, the key point of what our faith tells us we ought to be doing. And it's about the answer that Jesus gave when the Pharisees asked him what was the greatest commandment. And he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and equally important, love your neighbor as yourself." I'm going to come back to that, but first of all, I want to put that conversation that Jesus was having with the Pharisees into its context. Now, what would you say was the biggest thing God did between the creation and the birth of Jesus? Was it perhaps Noah's flood, or perhaps the covenant with Abraham, or even the splendor of the court of King Solomon and the beautiful temple? Well, I'm going to say that the most important thing, the biggest thing God did was to give his people the law through his prophet Moses. And even if that's just my opinion, I think it was almost certainly shared with the Pharisees of Jesus' time. Because Moses was seen in Judaism as God's greatest prophet, the numero uno, the great lawgiver, the authority they all looked to. And that's exactly what the reading from Deuteronomy says. It said, "There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." It's also worth remembering that before New Testament times, there hadn't been any prophets in Israel for about 400 years. There was this 400-year gap between the last of the minor prophets and Jesus' birth. God had not spoken directly to his people in all that time. And what this meant was that the writings they had about Moses, and especially the laws and the commandments, are all the more important in the Jewish worldview. So the law of Moses was front and center in their religious life. And what they called the law of Moses, or the Torah in Hebrew, is what we call the first five books of the Old Testament. That includes, of course, the Ten Commandments. Much more than that, though, it gave them a set of detailed rules they should live by. And the Pharisees were constantly debating them, refining them, and trying to impose these rules on the people as a whole. These Pharisees had set themselves up as the experts, as something of a closed shop, I would say. So when a new rabbi, Jesus, came on the scene and was critical of them, they didn't like it. They wanted to put him in his place. And their method was to test his theological mettle, as it were, to see if he knew his scriptures. You could call it one-upmanship of a rather unpleasant kind. So they asked Jesus, "What is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus shows his deep knowledge of the law in his reply. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and equally important, love your neighbor as yourself." Now these are quotes, right? Quotes from the scriptures that the Pharisees claim to know very well. The first bit is from Deuteronomy 6. The second part is from Leviticus chapter 19. And the Pharisees can't argue with that, so they're silent. Now, you'll have noticed that although the original question was about which was the greatest commandment, Jesus actually replies by quoting not one, but two. Duty to love God, the first one. Duty to love our neighbors as ourselves is the second one. It's important to keep them both in mind. And I say this because in popular Christianity, and by that I mean the sort of Christianity of people who say they're Christian but would never go to church, in popular Christianity, loving your neighbors is all there is to it. There are people who think they are Christians because they're kind to other people. That's what they do, end of story. That sort of Christianity is Christianity without God. It ignores the first commandment and leaves God out. Well, you can't leave God out. Now, that phrase, leaving God out, brings back an old memory of mine, which I just want to share with you. When I was a student in a land far away, I used to attend a discussion group run by the college chaplain. I wasn't studying theology, but I was interested in religion, so I went along. And sooner or later in these discussions, someone would mention God. And when that came up, the college chaplain would say, "Let's leave God out of this." Yes, really. The 1960s were a strange time. After a while, I realized that leaving God out of it was not my sort of Christianity. Now, there's another little tricky question about these two commandments, about their relationship with each other. If they're equal, then what happens if there is a conflict? Could they be tugging us in different directions? And to answer that, I think we need to go back to that conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees. Now, there was a lot to object to about the Pharisees. They were arrogant and pedantic, among other things. But they were still people, and people who were devoted to God's law in their own way. But notice that Jesus doesn't compromise with them. He shows them up. He turns the tables and asks them about the Messiah, whose son is he? And when the Pharisees answer him, he immediately shows them that they are wrong. He is not kind to them on this occasion. There were, of course, many, many occasions when Jesus showed love and kindness. But there were also occasions when he showed people when they were wrong in no uncertain terms. And I'm thinking of episodes like the cleansing of the temple, for instance. Jesus was not always kind in the sense that we use it, because he put his duty to love God above all else. And the key, I think, is in the word all. And here's the difference between the two commandments. We should love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. And that word all puts our duty to love God first and foremost. Well, what do we do about that? We worship him, and here we are worshiping him. Over the centuries, some people have cut themselves off totally from the world, living in, I don't know, caves or monasteries or something like that to focus entirely on God. Well, that's not us. For us, it's not letting other things come between us and God. We are loving God with all our heart and soul and mind if we show him that he is the most important person in our lives. Now, I'd like to finish with a quote from Mother Teresa. I don't think anybody could say that Mother Teresa did not love other people. Her whole life was dedicated to loving her neighbors in practical ways. And many of us, including myself, wouldn't last 5 minutes doing what she spent her life doing for other people in the slums of Calcutta. And you might imagine that the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves was her guiding star. But Mother Teresa knew that other people were not the whole story. She knew that people could, in fact, corrode and threaten the godly life. I reckon she knew which was the first commandment and which was the second commandment. Listen to what she wrote. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world your best anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. And so for me, Mother Teresa's words remind me why loving God is the first commandment. In the final analysis, it is between each of us and God. Amen.